You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In Mona Simpson's latest novel, My Hollywood, Claire wants to have it all. A happy marriage, a career as a composer, and a popular, well-adjusted child. Since her husband Paul spends long hours at his job writing TV sitcoms, she hires Lola, a Filipina nanny, to help raise William. The story unfolds, narrated by the two William in alternating chapters, in a novel that Ron Charles described in his Washington Post review as a poignant vision of the upstairs-downstairs structure that persists in our officially classless society. It's published by Knopf, and I'm very pleased that it brings Mona Simpson back to our show today. Hello.
Hi.
It's been 10 years since your last novel. Didn't you become a mother and move to California during that time?
I did indeed, twice over. And becoming a mother, not moving to California.
You didn't move to California twice?
No. I have two children now.
How long have you been working on this book? Because it's parts of it have popped up over the years all over the place. Were you writing it as short stories?
No, I was working on it as a novel, but I excerpted it several places. Actually, embarrassingly enough, I've actually worked on it more than 10 years because I wrote a short novel, Off Keck Road, in the middle of it. I mean, while I had already begun it. So, yes, I worked on this novel altogether too long.
And it's not only been in Harper's and Atlantic, but you also read part of it on This American Life.
Yes.
Interviewers are fond of asking writers about the autobiographical elements in their novels. Does it bother you to be asked which parts of a story were taken from your life and which were your invention?
No, not at all, as long as you don't hold me to veracity in it, because I'm not always entirely right. Sometimes the things that I think I've taken from life, I've monkeyed with more than I remembered and gotten them wrong. But in this book, actually, it's funny because there's lots of there's different kinds of autobiography, just as there are different kinds of research. So in a sense, the Claire character is most autobiographically me. She's my demographic. She's an American woman of my generation who has a baby and is also working. So those things are all completely autobiographical. But
she's not the most likable person in the world.
No, she's not. I think that's always.
And you are.
Thank you. Well, I was going to say actually, the externals of Claire were autobiographical, but not the in a way the internal side of the characters. The nanny, I think, is really truly more autobiographical for me, in the sense that if I thought about my deepest, I think we're all sort of in some ways toying with our deepest problems and shames and challenges when we write. And I suppose if I'm really honest with myself, that interiority is really more true to the nanny character. But then again, I think if you make a character your own demographic, so to speak, as I did with the mom, I would want to make her less than entirely appealing, because otherwise it would be too tempting to justify oneself.
But this is a conflict we see in a lot of women who are creative. It's not the same thing as if you have a business career or if you're a lawyer and you're faced with having to choose between career and child, because. In this case, she's just beginning to succeed as a composer when she meets Paul, the man who she marries. She tells him on their first date that she's not sure she can have children because she wants to pursue her career in music.
No, that's absolutely true. And I think on the good side of this, I think that's probably true for men and women who have less structured careers. I mean, it's absolutely. I think everyone, when they have a child, realizes in a kind of deep, almost visceral, physical way that this is important. This is an essential task. This child didn't ask to be born. I've taken this on, and it's my human job to do this as well as I can. And yet, if you have a competing structure, if you have a job that pays you and you have to do it and you have to be there at a certain time, you know, I suppose the one example of that is if you're a surgeon and there's someone waiting and there's life on that side, too, it's probably easier to get out the door in the morning. That's for sure.
Well, Paul promises Claire that he'll do half the child care if they were to have children. Does she believe him? Would a woman ever believe a man if he makes that kind of promise? That's like the kids say, if you get us a puppy, we'll walk the dog every day. You know they're not going to do it.
Well, and I did say in the book that they talked about that, about the division of labor with children on their first date, and they didn't really talk about it again until after they had the baby, which I think is probably surprisingly common. I mean, I think women of my generation went to college expecting to find something they loved, expecting to work. I think when you're at college, everything feels very equal. And I think it can come as a rude surprise that, but I think, I don't think really it's the fault of men either. I mean, there's been studies that apparently men are working, you know, 20% more than men of their father's generation. Now women very often work as well. And yet we still have children and we still want homes and we still, and even now, actually, the way that the schools work and the way that our generation raises children is probably quite a bit more taxing than the way we were raised.
And then there's a whole matter of reality as opposed to what we imagine. At one point, Paul tells Claire that his favorite TV show when he was growing up was the Dick Van Dyke Show. I'm sure listeners remember, Dick played a TV comedy writer married to a housewife played by Mary Tyler Moore. He's assuming this is what his life is going to be like. And then he's disappointed when he meets Dick Van Dyke and learns that his personal life didn't turn out as well as his TV character's life seemed to.
Yes, that's always a problem, isn't it? And yet we need our romances as well.
Family relationships are at the heart of this novel, and they're also the core of your earlier novels. Anywhere but here, the lost father, a regular guy off Keck Road. When did you realize that that would be the basic theme of your work? Did you ever realize it?
Well, I think, I don't know. I think family relationships are sort of the basic theme of literature. So I guess I always assumed they would be in my work.
Mm.
You know,
although in the past they've been largely about mothers and daughters.
Yes, that's
not
true.
Here.
Not here. I don't know. That the first novel was certainly about a mother and a daughter. I think the second one is a little more about the father. And then off Kick Road, I don't know. But I think the family is always. I think we're always looking in novels for sort of the central relationships. It's a funny balance you want in fiction because you want the eternal questions, the eternal human moral challenges, and yet you want something that's new and different and a fresh approach that we only face in our time.
My guest is Mona Simpson. Her latest novel is My Hollywood. Well, it's interesting that the nanny is older than Claire. And there's almost like a mother-daughter dynamic here as well.
But Claire learns a great deal from
But Claire
from
is
Lola.
Also the boss.
Yes. Well, that's often the case. And Claire does learn a great deal from Lola.
But I mean, both of them are always on guard, trying not to say something that will offend the other.
Yes, Lola, because it's her job and her employer, and also because she cares for her. And Claire, because she respects Lola as well and is impressed and a little daunted by her ease with children. One of the things I wanted to write about in this book was about love and about whether love could be bought in that way. Whether we can, in a sense, hire out love, and what are the implications of that?
But also, what happens when people bond, even if they're not family, and the complications that causes? People who hire nannies, at least in your novel, like to think of them as part of the family, but then subject them to casual humiliations. Lola tells a story about a former employer giving her a jar of pennies and then taking them back after she'd rolled them up because he saw how much money they actually represented.
Yes, and in one of the contracts, there's a contract I put in the book where there's an elaborate system they establish for how much notice, and the employer needs to give 2 weeks' notice, the employee 6 weeks' notice, and the last line is, "We hope you'll be part of our family for a long time to come."
Now, there's a lot that's funny in this book.
I hope so.
And it sometimes it's satirical. Sometimes it's just funny situations. Did you start off thinking you were going to write a funny book?
I always hope that there's something funny.
There's a really
funny. For my own amusement, if nothing else.
Do you laugh out loud when you come up with something like what goes on in William's playgroups and at his preschool?
Yes.
But then you have to balance it because you're also dealing with some pretty serious subjects here.
Yeah.
I guess voice is the key factor there. Is a character's voice important in creating funny scenes?
For me, in this novel, the two characters' voices were almost everything. They're both, they both speak their own chapters. They're in first person. So the voice of the nanny was both a challenge to me, but sort of where I started. It was what enchanted me and what interested me.
The dynamic here is interesting because Lola is surprised and dismayed when she realizes that Claire barely makes enough money to pay her salary, that she's actually doing it because she wants to work at something that is worth more than money to her.
Yes, and that happens at the beginning of the book. Lola discovers a check for a trip they took together, and she realizes that what Claire paid her was even a little more, perhaps, than what she earned from this trip. And that's surprising to Lola, who's here working from the Philippines to support a daughter there who's going to medical school. And sort of that's where Lola starts. And yet later in the novel, Lola makes a decision to sacrifice a great deal of money to do work that she cares more about. So it's their trajectories do intersect in strange ways.
Lola's original idea is just to make as much money as she can and send it all back home.
Yes, and to be here for a short period of time and then go back.
Now, Lola finds a mentor named Ruth soon after she arrives in California. Ruth runs a boarding house where live-in nannies can sleep when they have the night off or when they're between jobs. And Lola's very interested in a book that Ruth keeps, which she calls The Book of Ruth. Can you tell us about that? And is this something that you invented? Or
you know, it is. It's very funny. It is something I invented, but almost everyone asks if that's real, if that's actually true.
Because it sounds like it could be.
Well, there's one part in it. There's one letter in it, the letter that was written in the 40s to the president, to President Roosevelt, that is a found letter. But the whole idea of the Book of Ruth is just made up. But I think it's because I did so much research for this book, I was hoping to find something like this. And the Book of Ruth is kind of a collective diary of these domestic workers' experiences. It includes whimsical things like recipes or lists or advice, and also sometimes includes memorials of a babysitter who's died there.
But it would also be invaluable to somebody who has come to this country and is going to become a nanny. She learns
exactly
the rules.
Yeah.
Mona Simpson is the author of Anywhere But Here, The Lost Father, A Regular Guy, and Off Keck Road, which was a finalist for the Penn Faulkner Award and won the Heartland Prize of the Chicago Tribune. Her latest book is My Hollywood. It is published by Knopf. And I want to thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you.